me tell you, it is cold out there. And just in case you don't know, just stick your head out the window. You'll see. It's cold out there. I don't know where Texas went, but it's not like this usually. So, whoo, here I am, ready to go. Hope you guys are ready to go. Also, by the way, I hope that you've taken care of your sweetheart in some way today. It is Valentine's Day, Sunday, February 14th, and we are getting ready to study the Word of God. We've been in a series called In the Beginning, and it's a series of the book of Genesis. And we've been at it a couple of weeks, and here we are today doing a lesson called Faith Decisions. It's about the faith of Abraham. And we ended up with some bad news last week, because before the good news can come, sometimes you have to have some bad news, because that's reality. And so here we are. We're going to be talking about the faith of Abraham today. Pretty excited about that. Pretty excited about what we're doing here in the Word of God. You know, the faith of Abraham is legendary. I mean, it is. He is the father of faith, and he's that for Jews and for Christians and for Muslims. They all claim Abraham as their father of faith. But he's a hero in all of the stories. But in the book of Genesis, it also reveals some of his downs as well as some of the ups of his faith journey. Now, this story begins in Genesis 12, and it begins as the story of God and his people. The first 11 chapters have just finished with one failure after another. There was Adam and Eve and the serpent. There was Cain killing Abel. There was Lamech killing a guy and boasting about it. And then there was that people who their only thought was only evil all the time. And then came the flood. And then there was that tower business with the people disobeying God, and then God having to stir them up. And it's been a mess. But God, he doesn't give up. And here with Abraham, God is going to begin what many call, including me, his rescue plan. So the Jesus Storybook Bible starts it this way. And I like the Jesus Storybook Bible. We've used it here at CCC plenty of times before. And so here's how this starts, this story of Abraham. Here we go. Years passed and things didn't get any better. People were still just as cruel and mean to one another. They still got sick and died. And God's world was still full of tears. It was never meant to be like this. But God was getting ready to do something about it. He was going to make all the wrong things right, and he was going to do it through a family. Abraham, God said, believe me. And then God told Abraham his secret rescue plan. Abraham, I will make your family very big, God promised, until one day your family will come to number more than even all the stars in the sky. Abraham looked up at the dark night sky thick with stars. God said, you will be my special family and my people, and through you, everyone on earth will be blessed. It was an incredible promise. God was going to rescue the world through Abraham's family. One of his great, 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 great grandchildren would be the child, the promised one, the rescuer. Abraham said, but it's too wonderful. How can it be true? And God asked, is anything too good to be true? Is anything too wonderful for me? So Abraham trusted God. He trusted what God said more than his eyes could see. And he believed. Let's pray. God, as we examine this story, we read this story that we know well, open our eyes and hearts for more, that we could come to understand you more. We could believe more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the title of this sermon is Faith Decisions. And we're going to talk about that.
faith and decisions that we make by faith. And the story in the text starts in the Bible starts in chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, what we're going to talk about today. It's cold outside, but I still get dry mouth. So here's how it begins. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." So, Abram, that's Abraham, Abram went. What? Yeah, that's it. There it is. He got up and he went, just as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. That's his nephew. Talking about him in the weeks to come. And Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. That's where he was living. Abraham went. He left. He got up and left. And why did he do that? Because God told him to. He made a decision to trust God and to do what God said. Abraham's decision, his faith decision, included things he would leave behind. For instance, he was going to leave behind his home country. Woo! I've moved out of Texas before. Not that pleasant. I missed my home country. He also was going to leave his people behind, his home people, his homies, his homeboys. I've moved and I've discovered I miss my home people. And he was going to leave behind his father's household, which included maybe some other things besides just a place to live, but a lifestyle. Abraham was going to leave a lifestyle. He was going to leave probably some dreams that he had, and he was going to leave the safety of his own home. He was going to leave all that behind. His decision included things he was going to leave behind, but his decision also included trust that God would come through on his promises. And God promised him a land. And you know what? God gave him a land. But as it's the case with some of God's promises, he didn't give him that land during Abraham's lifetime. When Sarah, his wife, died about 40 years later from this moment, he had to borrow some land to bury her. He didn't have land. Then he also, when he died, he was buried in that same place. He didn't have land. Later, there would be land. And this is the key with God. Sometimes his promises take a while to come through, but they always do. They always do. Not right away sometimes, but they always come through. A second thing, that he'd be a great nation. Well, when he died, he had two sons. Well, he had a few more than that, because after Sarah died, he had a few more. But he just had some sons and a few grandchildren. He didn't have a great nation. But they became great. He also always had a good reputation. And this says, God says he's going to make his name great. Well, he always had a good reputation, but he wasn't famous. He is now. And God came through on his promise. Some of the promises God's made me and you are going to come through after we've passed. And I can't wait for some of those promises. I can't wait to have a new body. I can't wait to live forever in a place where there's no pain. Woo! Where there's maybe not even any baldness. I can't wait for those promises that are going to come true, maybe not right away, but in the future. God also gave him a mission. And man, I am so glad for this. His mission was to bless all the peoples of the earth. And Abraham did that. He's given us a mission. We'll talk about that. So, here's the key things for today. Abraham heard God. He heard God. And then he made a decision to do what God said. Now, hearing God. How does that happen? I tell you what, when I first taught this particular curriculum. This comes from a curriculum I taught to eighth graders and their parents at Highland for 6-8 years, called Faith Decisions. And I had some college students helping me, and one was a married couple with a 4-year-old boy. And we were over at their house watching a video of the life of Abraham. And the little boy was laying on the ground in front of the TV with his head and his face in his hands like this, and he was just mesmerized by this video. And it showed Abraham out kind of in a desert wadi kind of place, you know, that we've seen in some of our Ray Vanderland videos. And he was walking and he was troubled, and then he heard a voice, and this voice came from nowhere and it said, "Abraham, Abraham," and then it repeated the blessing. And that little boy's eyes got so big, and then he just looked over at me, and I was sitting on the ground with him, and he looked over at me and he said, "That was God. That was God." And I was going, "Yeah, that's right, Chad. It was God. That was God." Now, sometimes God speaks in so many different ways. But that little boy, he understood that was who God was. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But you've heard God. You've heard God. We'll talk about that in just a second. But after Abraham heard God, he made a decision. Now, in life is really series of decisions, one after the other. We'll make hundreds a day. No, I chose today to wear this sweater because it reminds me of Valentine's Day and, you know, love. I don't know. But we made a decision. We made decisions. We make them all the time. We make big ones. We make little ones. Some little decisions, something like, you know, what's for dinner? Or, you know, which TV show am I going to watch? Or, you know, what time am I going to go to bed? Now, you know, those are kind of small decisions, but all three of those could have some major impacts on my life day after day, like what TV I watch, what goes in my brain, or what food I eat, like what goes in my body, or how much rest am I getting? I mean, these are things that could be big decisions, but really, they're relatively small. Some other bigger decisions would be like, what vocation am I going to? Am I going to be a doctor? Am I going to be a lawyer? Am I going to be a football coach? You know, I make decisions about that. Am I going to marry? Am I going to have a family? That's a big decision to bring a human being into the world. It's a big decision. And so, you know, we have big decisions to make. Am I going to be an active member of a church? Man, that could impact so many things in my life. And there's, in all of these, you know, you leave one thing. You reject some options and choose one. Little decisions, big decisions. Life is a series of decisions. And so this is how it was in Abraham's life as well. And he became famous for these decisions that he made. The New Testament especially paints this great picture of Abraham. They don't talk about any of his failures in the New Testament. You know, I like to think about that. Maybe that's how life is through the lens of Jesus, that when he sees you, he doesn't see all those mistakes. But Genesis is full of some of Abraham's mistakes, and we'll catch up with some of them in the weeks to come. But in the New Testament, man, he is the hero. And it starts out in Acts, well, some in the Gospels too, but in Acts, Stephen is the deacon who gets stoned, is preaching through the history of Israel, and man, in the front, the hero position is Abraham. He's the hero of Israel, as Stephen tells it in Acts chapter 7. And then in Romans chapter 4, Paul focuses on the faith that was required by Abraham to pursue fatherhood, even when he was way too old to be a dad. But he had faith and he pursued that, and that faith is what saved him, it says. As a matter of fact, in Galatians and Romans, Paul describes that how people are saved, how Abraham was saved, was not by keeping the law. There was no law then. He was saved by his faith, and this is a big deal. And so this is how he's described. But the best place, I like the description of Abraham, is in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And I want to read this, because this is where we are in our story in Genesis also. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. That's how Hebrews 8 says it. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in foreign country. He lived in tents as his son Isaac and grandson Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking ahead to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder was God. He had faith in what God was going to do in the future, and that's what dictated his present, his decisions of the moment. Woo, love that story. He went to a place he didn't know where he was going. God directed him. God led him. And in the Bible, there's a lot of examples of God calling someone to change their location, to leave or to go or to make some challenging life change, like, for instance, Moses or David or Elijah. Well, really, all of the prophets. They were challenged by God to make life-changing, life-challenging decisions, faith decisions. Decisions because they trusted God and were willing to leave something behind because God said, go. And if you go, God said, I'm going to take care of you. In Luke 9, this wasn't just for the Old Testament prophets. In Luke 9, this is what Jesus did with the disciples. He says to them that if you follow me, you're going to have to leave things behind, your old way of life. You're going to have to leave it behind. And you're going to leave that life behind because the life you're going to have with me is going to be true life. You're going to have to leave some things behind when you make a faith decision to follow Jesus. But they all heard God, and then they made a decision to obey him. So how do you hear God today? Okay? How do you hear God today? That's the question. And I'm going to suggest some things about how you hear God. By the way, the fact that you're listening to this video, you're listening right now, that's evidence that God has planted a seed in your heart to search for him. You want to know more about God. That's why you're listening to this. You want to know God's direction for your life. That's why you're listening to this. You want to be among God's people. That's why you're listening. So, by the way, so happy to have you. So I'm going to name four ways we hear God. And there's others, and you may have some others. But number one is to read God's word. And you know, we have hit on this scripture several times about reading God's word so I can hear his voice. This is what 2 Timothy says, that all scripture is God-breathed. It's God's voice. Scripture is God's voice, and it's useful for teaching. And it's also used for us to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're going to be able to understand God and know what God wants us to do because we read God's word. Second thing is that you participate. Another way you hear God is by participating in a small group Bible studies. Now, we do that at church here, but some people do it in their home, online. There's a lot of ways to get involved in small group Bible studies, but man, we have been so blessed here at CCC by the videos from Dr. Ray Vanderland and Steve Barnett teaching us in class, leading, facilitating, as he likes to call it, facilitating these videos. And some of us have read the Bible for over 50 years. But in the last few months and years, we have learned so much more because we've been involved in this small group Bible study where we discuss what the teacher, Dr. Ray, tells us. And it's great. The third thing is to dialogue, have conversation with godly people. It could be friends or family, but just have a conversation with a person about God's word, maybe, and what it means for your life instead of sports or instead of politics. You know, there are a lot of things that we get caught up in, the habit of having our conversations just have to be on this certain kind of level, superficial. And instead, man, we could talk about God's word. And the other thing, the last thing, is to listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit lives in you and communicates with your heart, with your conscience, with your mind. Is always speaking to you. And in these four ways, God can transform you. Listening to the Holy Spirit, dialoguing with godly people, reading the Bible, participating in small group Bible studies, all this can happen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test. You'll hear God. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, perfect will. This is what God wants for you. Trust that God will follow through on His promises that He's made. And His promise is that He's going to be with you. His promise is that He's going to lead you into the best life. Now, when you hear God, what do you do? Here's my suggestion. Do it. If you hear God and He says do something or stop doing something, do it. He may say forgive. He may say don't speak in this moment. He may say speak up. He may say do this kind act that's right in front of you. There's a lot of things you'll hear God tell you to do. Do it. Don't hesitate. Now, it's okay. Pray for clarity. If you sense God's Spirit leading you somewhere, pray for clarity. And pray for courage, and then do it. Talk it over with a wise other Christian person, and then do it. When you hear God say, go, go. That's the key to this whole text. God said, Abraham, get up and go, in verse 4, and Abraham went. Life is a series, as I've said. It's a series of decisions. And sometimes we let other people make decisions, or the culture makes decisions, but anytime... we're responsible for our decisions, even if we let someone else tell us what to do. If we let the world tell us what to do, we're still responsible. Abraham heard God, and he made a decision to do what God said. His life changed, and the world changed, and your life changed because of Abraham. Some of the people listening to this video right now, about 20 years ago, God put it on their heart to start this church. And they had to leave some things behind. And God was nudging them, sometimes shoving them, pushing them. And several of them are still here with us, leading us today. And we love them because they were visionary. Like Abraham, God told them something to do, and they started Christ Community Church. They made faith decisions to leave some things behind. Some of them, they didn't know where they were going, just like it says in Hebrews 11. Abraham didn't know where he was going. Neither did Olin or Steve or the others who started this church. They didn't know for sure where they're going. But here we are today, changing lives, changing my life for sure. Man, I'm so glad that Sally and Olin heard God. And at the time, I was back in Abilene. I'm thinking, oh, man, that sounds kind of weird. Why do they need that church? They all got other churches. No, they listened to God. Sometimes the way, God's way, doing things His way, begins with trouble. He promises that we're going to have some trouble. But all choices, all decisions eventually run into some trouble. The thing about God is He says, I'm going to be with you in the trouble. And on the other side of the trouble, I have promises for you. And they're good. They're good. Trust is the key. Trust. And you know what? Even trust is a decision. So I hope today, you make the decision to trust God. Get up and go. Let's pray. God, we love You. Today we ask that we hear clearly Your voice as You lead us through life, and You give us the courage to say yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.